3 last night, won 8-4 on Tuesday. And they're still in first place, one game over Springfield. There's, I think, 18 games left in the first half. So, you know, for people that pay attention mostly to Major League Baseball, it's difficult to think about late May, early June as a pennant race. But we're right in the thick of it in the Texas League, where you play split season, 70-game halves, and we're right at the end of the near the end of the first half.
When's the Major League Baseball All-Star Game?
It's usually early July. I don't remember the date exactly, but it happens about a week to 2 weeks after the Texas League All-Star Game this year.
Okay, so we're a little bit away from the midseason. Well, how many games have we played here? I haven't even looked, I guess.
Well, most teams play about 55
so
games.
Far.
Yeah.
Okay. Luckily, the Cubs are already out of it, so no pressure for me.
Well, it's just another year.
Speaking of, Travis Wood on the mound tonight for the Cubs, and we'll get into some Razorback football and basketball, or football and baseball talk, rather, in a second. But Wood's 4-3 on the season, although his ERA is pretty good. They play this afternoon against the White Sox, and yesterday the Cubs catcher, 3 home runs. And you talked about before the show, you were telling me puts him in some elite company.
Deonor Navarro is not the guy that you would expect to hit 3 homers in a game. Kind of like another former Cub that did it once, Tuffy. I mean, Tuffy Rhodes hit 3 homers on opening day. I think it was the 92 season, and then it became a legendary power hitter in Japan. But for Navarro, the 3 homers yesterday, it was his first multi-homer game of his career. Not just first 3 homer game, but the first time he'd even hit 2. Career of 47 home runs, and he's been around a while. So the interesting thing is that it's just the 15th catcher to hit 3 home runs in one game in Major League history. And some of the names on the list don't quite go with Navarro's skill set as far as power goes. Jason Varitek and Mike Piazza, Benito Santiago, Mike Stanley, who was a pretty good catcher and power hitter. Gary Carter, Hall of Famer Johnny Bench, Smokey Burgess, Roy Campanella. Deonor Navarro is a good catcher, but he doesn't necessarily belong on that list. And half of his home runs come in one game, so who knows? I don't know if the wind was blowing out at Wrigley yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was an afternoon game, and chances are when you know a guy who's not really a big-time power hitter hits 3 homers, he got some help from Mother Nature.
When you realize the Cubs are out of it already, you just root for 2 things. You want them to win the season series against the White Sox, and you want them to beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen all that often, but nevertheless.
Well, and just about, 3 hours away from first pitch, Jake Peavy versus Travis Wood at Wrigley today. Pretty good matchup on the mound.
What do you think about Wood's status? Do you think he'll end the season with the Cubs? Do you think he'll be traded? I mean, they got a couple of arms that they're talking about potentially being trade bait, and it happens a lot when you see a team that has some real talent, but yet they are not having a lot of success on the field. Now, the Cubs have lost more than their share of one-run games this year. I'm telling you, they could easily have 5, 6, 7 more wins this year. But, look, I mean, one-run games are not too rare, I guess, at that level. But still, it seems like they've been pretty tough luck this year, and they're not exactly a great team anyway, so they have to be pretty darn good to pull off victories. But what about him? And then another guy we talk about a lot is Cliff Lee. Philadelphia is certainly underperforming so far this season. They're very much still in the mix where they could end up in a postseason position. But Cliff Lee's a guy that you see his name pop up every so often, too, as far as trade bait.
I think Lee is more of an option to be traded than Travis Wood. I think with the Cubs, you know, you do have a solid-looking nucleus of a couple of good younger starting pitchers like him and Jeff Samardzija. I'm not sure if either of those guys gets dealt. I think when you look at the Phillies and with Lee being a veteran, and I think this is the last year of the contract he signed with Philadelphia, I think he's probably on the move. That's a team that really needs to reload their organization a little bit. I'm not saying the Cubs aren't going to be in the seller on the market, but I'm not sure if Wood would be a guy that I'd put on the market, because you still have him controlled for at least another 4 years, mm-hmm. Which means maybe if you put him on the market, you can get a very large return. But a left-handed starting pitcher who is young, who is finding success on a team that is struggling, you might want to hold on to Travis Wood.
Well, it is interesting, too. The Central Division right now has not only the St. Louis Cardinals leading the way, and they've won 4 in a row, but Cincinnati and Pittsburgh are deadlocked for the wild card.
Yeah.
So you'd have 3 playoff teams potentially coming out of one division.
I mean, right now the best division in baseball is the National League Central, with St. Louis 35-17, the Reds and Bucks 33-20. Pirates, I think, have some staying power. They've gotten some great contributions from Jeff Locke, a pitcher they had acquired in a trade a couple of years ago. He's really been a lockdown starter. AJ is having another tremendous year in Pittsburgh and has become really a fan favorite there. And remember, they had a hot start without Andrew McCutchen really doing much, and Cutch is starting to turn it on. Pedro Alvarez hitting for some power, finally got his batting average up to 200. But I spoke with a scout the last couple of days. He's a Pirates scout, and he said that when you looked at the Pirates the last couple of years, they didn't look like they had the staying power to continue the sort of success that they had in the first half. And you saw great drop-offs in both offense and on the pitcher's mound in the second half the last 2 years. This is a team now that's much more battle-tested, and some of those younger players in the last 2 years seem to be a little more consistent now. They have that kind of staying power to stick in this race for, I think, right until the very end.
Let's take a call from Bill, then we'll get into some Razorback talk here. Bill's in Conway. Hey, Bill, welcome.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How much? How are you?
Actually, I want to share a funny story with Phil that happened to the recent Travelers game. It's been about a month or so ago. It was Saturday afternoon. I was out doing a little yard work. My wife walked out and said, hey, you know, some friends called and said, you know, want to know if they, we wanted to meet them at a Travelers game. Sure, you know, love baseball. I'm always up for a Travelers game. So I said, sure. She said, well, here's the deal. Tonight's the night that you take your dogs. She said, so we're taking our dogs. I said, oh. So, you know, all of a sudden, it's not that great of an idea. But anyway, I go along with it. We go. We're sitting there, and I think, well, heck, I'll drink a few beers. It'll all be okay. Well, it took to the very end of the game when the Travelers won and they shot off the fireworks. About 50 dogs went in about 100 different directions. And I thought, this is awesome. This is worth waiting for. That's the funniest thing I had ever seen in my life.
Funny to you and not funny to some of the other dog owners who had who complained about it afterwards. It's a good call, Bill, and it's an interesting experience. I hadn't thought about it because I'm not a dog owner, so I wouldn't have known.
What was the – that reminds me of the old the record giveaway at the stadium where they threw him on the field that 1 year.
Yeah, there was Disco Demolition Night with the White Sox.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
They actually had to forfeit the second game of a doubleheader because they explode – they blew up all the disco albums that that the DJ had asked them to bring out to the ballpark, and they had a riot on the field after that.
But that
didn't happen with the.
Luckily, nobody threw their dogs on the field or blew them up.
There was no canine riot on the field at Dickie Stevens Park. But yes, I'll put it this way: we learned the hard way. No fireworks on Bark in the Park night. It just they don't work together. It's like oil and water.
We've got some Screaming Kids Days coming up here soon. I think we've
they're
got
done.
A,
no, we're
that's it.
We're done with Screaming Kids.
I thought we had a date set to come over and do our show on a Screaming Kids Day. I wonder what happened.
Going to come back for the last one. It was the last homestand.
When was that?
Two Wednesdays ago.
Oops.
Yep.
Sorry.
We'll plan it ahead for next year.
Well, that's it. I think we should add an extra one.
Just for you?
Yeah.
A Screaming Acre Day.
Screaming Zone Day. I love Screaming Kids Day. How many are you guys still? Is SpongeBob SquarePants still the go-to?
Oh, can I tell you the? I forget what team it was. I think it was in. It was in Northwest Arkansas. They played SpongeBob. They blew out the record. I mean, blew the record out. We played 12 full SpongeBob SquarePants at Raywinder Field one day for Screaming Kids Day. They played about 40 or 50 portions of SpongeBob SquarePants throughout the last one we played at Northwest Arkansas, which was I couldn't get the phrase. Are you ready, kids? Out of my head for a week and a half.
Well,
thanks for bringing it up.
Look, if you're ever in a situation where someone has a gun to your head and asks you who lives in a pineapple under the sea, Phil, you will know the answer and you could save your life.
I'll run the other way before I answer that question now.
Look at the upside. A couple of things Razorback related, and then we'll get my favorite Big Red. I mean, as much as I love the mascot, we'll get our own Big Red from Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram moment here in a minute. But a couple of Razorback-related things, and we'll hear from Dave Van Horn talking about the regional. Arkansas heading to Manhattan, Kansas. Rick Schaefer will join us live from Manhattan tomorrow. We look forward to visiting with him, or at least he'll be en route to Manhattan. He is covering the game for us, and, of course, he'll be part of the broadcast along with Chuck Barrett. That game is at 7 o'clock on Friday. UCA playing Friday night against the host Mississippi State Bulldogs in that regional with a couple of other schools, Mercer and
South Alabama.
Thank you very much from the Sun Belt Conference.
South Alabama's got a great baseball heritage.
The one of the other things that was sort of hanging out there, and I missed the SEC meetings, Trey Schapple's down there, and I've seen some of the stuff that came out of there. One of the things was, what are they going to do with the schedule? They're going to leave it 8 games or move to 9? Apparently, the general consensus is that the 9-game conference schedule is inevitable from a financial standpoint, from a TV standpoint, it certainly makes more sense. But for the foreseeable future, this coming season, the next season, and probably the next season, they're going to stay at 8 games. for conference play.
The vote wasn't even close. We know that Nick Saban wants to see a ninth conference game, but apparently no other SEC head coach wants one.
Yeah. Well, for him, he looks at it like a lot of schools look at trying to schedule a patsy in the non-conference. He's like, well, that's just one more win for us. The good news for them is it would help their overall strength of schedule, because playing an SEC school is always a good move. Anyway,
is this inevitable because of the network?
Because I think because of the money. Yeah,
they'll need the extra.
It's just so much content. More. Yeah, it's so much more valuable, I think, from a TV standpoint, to have an SEC versus an SEC, as opposed to, again, look at some of Arkansas's non-conference games this year. I mean, Samford's on the schedule. Not Stanford. Not Samford and his son. No, Samford. Samford. Where Bowden got to start over there. I don't know if that was his first job or not, but he coached there before Florida State.
But he's not the coach there now.
No, he isn't. If he was, that would actually be cool.
It would be fun.
It would be kind of fun. And we also talked earlier about Arkansas-Texas Tech going to meet on the field again starting in 2014. First game is going to be in Lubbock. Then the next year they will return the game in Fayetteville. And, again, Old Southwest Conference foes. And I think it's good. I would rather see them play them, of course, in Cowboys Stadium, but that's okay.
What, is it really that big of a deal that it's an Old Southwest Conference school? Is that still a selling point? Does that still work?
I think because it's regional and it can be gotten to for fans, it's great. I don't care if they play somebody from Kansas. I don't care if they play a Kansas school. I don't care if they play Iowa State. I don't care if they play – I'm trying to think who else would even be close that would be doable. You know, if they played La Tech, it'd be fine with me. I like the fact that it's regional, mm-hmm. If they played Memphis, I mean, whoever. As long as it's a regional game that fans can go to, I think it's great. And Lubbock is – it's a hefty drive, but at least it's doable.
It's near regional status.
It is.
It's close enough.
Lubbock is like a world all unto its own. But the looks like that Arkansas and A&M are going to return to Cowboys Stadium after this year when A&M returns the game.
And still allow it to be a conference game.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, I know Georgia and Florida do that, where they play in
Jacksonville, in the neutral site.
So, I mean, it makes sense, and that'd be a lot of fun. And look, that's the reason that you signed up to play against A&M to begin with, because you knew you'd be playing in Cowboys Stadium. Might as well do it anyway.
Let's hear from Dave Van Horn talking about the regional. Certainly they are excited about an opportunity to play. Arkansas has been better than most, better than just about anyone I can think of, as far as their road success this year. Arkansas has been very, very good. They've won 4 of 5 SEC road series this year, so certainly going away from Baum Stadium, one of the nicest facilities in the country, not going to intimidate Arkansas. Here's Dave Van Horn talking about the trip to Manhattan and Arkansas getting ready for regional play.
First off, just glad to be in a regional. Obviously, that's one of your goals. You, if you don't get in a regional, you don't have a chance. You're out recruiting. So I guess my initial thought, though, would be that, it's probably the closest regional to us, and I think that's great for our fans and then a lot of our parents that, it's a region that we recruit from. So we're excited to get up there. I know that it'll be an exciting weekend. It'll be a tough challenge.
Still surprised at all, just given how they all the weight they put on the RPI, that you didn't get the host?
Yeah, I guess I'm never surprised. I mean, all we did was control what we could control, and, we did a great job in league. You know, we ended up with 20 wins against the SEC, and like I said before, we won 7 out of 10 series, and, some of the teams that they got to host didn't do as well as we did in league play. And I guess it came down to the RPI, and a lot of the teams that we played didn't do well, and that hurt us. So we lost a couple games we shouldn't have lost. It hurt us. But realistically, I felt like we would get one, but we didn't, and that's the way it goes. And I know that, our focus right now is just find out as much as we can about Bryant and the other two teams there and get ready to go play.
That is Dave Van Horn. I was just looking up on MapQuest what the distance is. It's about 350 miles from Fayetteville to Manhattan, so certainly doable. I mean, it's a one-day trip.
That's regional,
easily.
Too.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, too, it's the closest region they could get other than, of course, being at home. So for Little Rock to Manhattan, which is a trip that not most people make on purpose, that's the kind of trip where you don't even go for a wedding. You just send a present.
That's right.
You may go for a funeral if it's somebody really close to you, but I don't know.
Oh, I'd love to go to your wedding. Yeah, where is it?
Yeah, 540 miles for Little Rocker. So if you average 74 miles an hour, which is about my go-to, whatever that would be, less than 8 hours. So it's a doable trip.
I used to drive to Wichita. That was 7 hours. So I guess, about 8 hours to Manhattan.
I don't want to go there anytime soon. But for Arkansas, I would go. That'd be fun. Anyway, Rick Schaefer again will join us tomorrow. We don't have to wait until tomorrow to talk to Kevin Wilson, though, because he's here right now. Hi, Kevin Wilson.
What's up, guys? How are y'all?
Man, great to be here.
Great. I'm glad y'all are here.
The rain has been kind enough to hold off, and looks like it's going to be okay for a while, so people can come out and get a deal.
Start off great so far.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
You be watching any baseball this weekend, or are you working all weekend?
Working.
Yeah. Well, these cars aren't going to sell themselves.
They're not going to sell themselves.
They almost sell themselves.
The product does itself, yes.
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 So I like the, what do we decide it was going to be, slate gray? What's the official color of this car behind you, the Challenger?
Which one?
The one right behind you.
It's gray.
It's gray.
Just gray. There's not a qualifier on that.
Fancy,
yeah, just gray.
They don't have a fancy.
I just call it gray.
Okay.
That works. And if there is a charcoal, kind of a charcoal.
What's the, your shirt is exactly the same color. It's almost like a maroon
in the interior. Yeah.
Smooth, dude. Looks like something Sylvester Stallone would have driven in his heyday.
Probably would have.
Yeah.
For somebody like you.
Well, yeah, we're about the same size, Sly and I are.
That's not the family vehicle. Wait until the house is empty, then that's his car.
Yeah, that's about right.
What's, I'd have to get a convertible. Is there a convertible in the Challenger?
Not yet.
Yeah, is that coming soon?
Don't know.
Okay, then.
Don't know.
What all do you have that's convertible?
The Chrysler 200.
Okay. I've actually seen that. It's really nice.
Of course, the Wranglers.
Yeah, Wranglers are always good.
Yeah.
I have the 300. I've been very pleased with that. I would be hard-pressed to talk me into a 200 after driving a 300, even if it was
convertible. Yeah, it's the room and stuff you need.
Oh, 300 is great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Good and everything. As long as you don't run over, screws and stuff
like that,
you're in good shape.
Boy. So were you able to get my screw loose? Who knew I needed it?
It's coming.
I thought I had a screw loose already. Turns out I didn't.
It's getting fixed.
It was firmly planted in my back right tire.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I don't even know where that went. We didn't take that car out of town. We left it in the garage. I must have driven over a screw while I was pulling it into the garage. The kids are at work again.
Well, they were probably working on something.
Oh, the kids, they do their little construction projects in the garage.
Yeah.
Bad things happen.
Yeah. They were probably working on the car.
I think that's unlikely. Yeah, they know not to mess with it.
Yeah, they're probably working on it or something, trying to take off a wheel or something.
Yeah, well, maybe Maddox wanted to see what a screw would look like in a tire.
Right.
I wonder if this will go in here.
Are you the dad that's going to know exactly what your mileage is?
No.
So that the kid cannot take it anywhere?
I'm pretty anal, but I'm not quite that bad. I don't care. I don't get
as long as he tells you.
I don't get that bent out of shape. I don't get real personal about cars. Some people are really, really, and I used to be a little more anal about it, but I don't get that bent out of shape about cars. I look at cars as something that you need to trade or sell and buy a new one at least every year.
Every year.
I mean, minimum.
Minimum.
So.